Fool's Day. We thought that since we're talking about ghosts, this is a good time to secretly release a special little episode, or bonus episode, shall we say, of Bring Out Your Undead that no one saw coming, even me. And not seeing something coming is going to be a major theme in this episode, so buckle on up. I'm Megan, and I have reanimated both Mieka and Casey to continue our conversation about apparitions, and this episode is called Spectres and Poltergeists, Excellent Creatures to Run Encounters. This is an acronym, and apparently Adam is very proud of his James Bond joke. Also, he is both charming and funny, and he absolutely did not write the intro for this. Thanks, Adam.
Oh, man. All right. In this episode, we'll be communing with the forbidden text to talk about some of the most terrifying and sneakily deadly creatures in the Monster Manual, Spectres and Poltergeists.
But before we get started, I want to ask, how great is Adam? Seriously, I really want to ask this because I think we should all just list our top 10 favorite things about Adam.
I'm not listing anything nice about Adam in this episode.
He is a cutie patootie.
Oh, Lord.
Of course you've got to say that.
Yeah, you got an unfair advantage of having to like that man, so. Yeah. No, small peek behind the curtain, Adam tends to do all the puns and writing for our intros, and so this is his way of getting back at us, I think, for a hot second. So we're not usually pre-reading them ahead of time.
Which is why I usually fuck them up every other time.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
It makes it more interesting. I'm just saying.
Yep, adds a little spice.
I agree.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything nice. We'll move on.
I do want to ask, what's worse for you, the unseen entity stalking your house or the horrifyingly ugly phantasm that appears in the dead of night?
Both.
I was gonna say, why not both? Because like, I feel like they might be the same being, right? Like,
if I had to lean towards one, it would be the one in my house. I can't have my peace disrupted.
I just can't. Fair. I will say this, though, and I have said this a few times. My favorite thing about a good horror movie is that you don't see the entity, or you don't see the monster, or you don't see it. So it remains a bit of a mystery. Once right. I see it and I know what it is, I'm no longer afraid of it. Like, my brain just, like, removes itself from that. I'm like, oh, well, how nice. How nice for that monster. It's figuring its life out, you know? Like, I start being empathetic to it when you put a body to it. So,
right.
Yeah. So I feel like I would have to say that the unseen entity stalk in my house is a little bit more horrifying than the possible ugly phantasm that I will see and just feel bad for.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. The unseen thing, my mind will go to all nooks and crannies of terror.
Yeah.
And I just, like, if I know the ugly phantasm is out there, I just won't go out at night and it's solved.
So, yeah. You know, my mom would be very proud that she's right, that there's scary things in the darkness. You know? All right. Well, before we dive right into it, let's give a light recap on the general ghost from 5th edition of D&D. This, of course, is the base knowledge to spring off before we speak to some more hyper-specific kind of neat ones that we have coming down the pipeline here. So to make this quick and dirty, as we do here, a ghost in D&D 5th edition is a once-living creature, fair enough, that is bound to or haunts a very specific location, creature, or object. I say bound or haunt, as I believe that the word haunt can have a negative connotation for folks. And I want to remind, unfinished business for ghosts can very much not be inherently negative. In my mind, it doesn't have to be. It can be, you know, they just forgot to send the mail that day. And they're just like, I don't want to leave until I do that. That would be a good task to finish off before I go. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But yeah, that's the concept here, is that ghosts, to make a ghost go away, you solve its unfinished business, and then they'll float on with their business and their nonsense. The haunted aspects of most ghostly creatures in D&D 5th edition is that they have what's called ghostly manifestations, which just means that the area around a ghost can adjust based off of like impact or a person's demeanor, such as like cold air, unsettling vibes, you know, weird smells, think classic ghost haunting or hunting TV shows, like just that changes of the aura of the area, coldness, moving objects, all that really cool stuff. Stat-wise, they are a CR4, which seems slightly higher than your normal base creature we usually talk about here, especially when we're talking about like a base ghost or a base skeletal element, you know what I mean? But it's not that they are hard to kill. They're hard to hit. As we all see with most of our ghosts, and as we have discussed, they are resistant to acid fire, lightning, thunder, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing. Also immune to cold, necrotic, and poison, along with being charmed, exhausted, frightened, grappled, paralyzed, petrified, and poison, prone, and restrained. We have talked about that quite a bit when we talk about like our ghostly friends, but that's just to reset that tone. They know all languages that new in life. They have the classic ethereal sleight and incorporeal movement, which is that one where they can move through objects. If they stay in an object at the end of your beginning of your turn, you'll take force damage, XYZ, that whole thing. They hit with necrotic damage with withering touch and has an etherealness, which allows them to float between planes as well. But the one thing that makes them frightening is their ability to possess, which is as simple as a charisma save of 13 or lose control of your body as a player and you are now possessed. And you can only snap out of it if you hit or reach 0 hit points, or if the ghost just decides to fuck off, or if the ghost is turned undead or dispel good and evil magic spell. So that's the only thing in my mind that makes your base ghost pretty scurry.
Yeah. Not about that possession.
Yeah, I think we talked about that before with Mieka on episode before, that possession was the thing that bothers you the most when it comes to these
things. Yep.
Yeah. No, makes sense. All right, well, we do have two other ghostly creatures that we're going to kind of expand upon today. And I believe Mieka, you're up first. Who do you have?
No, it's me.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Casey, you can go first.
I had to quickly scroll. I was like, did I fuck up again?
Yeah, I thought I messed up. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm just going to scare everybody. April Fools!
Yeah, just kidding. No, okay, I am up and I am going to cover the Spectre. So we are looking in the Monster Manual. The Spectre is the spirit of a humanoid that cannot pass to the afterlife. They don't have a connection to who they were, what they did, or how they lived. Yet they must walk the world forever.
Forever.
Forever. Also dramatic.
Yes. It seems it is very unfortunate events that led them to this fate. Perhaps spawning from the touch of a wraith that tore their soul from their body. Or other dark magic. So this is a case, unlike ghosts, which have unfinished business, that if that business is fulfilled, they can pass over. Not so much for the Spectre. It is, as the book puts it, doomed to the material plane. It will wander the world, hating the living to a point they will try to destroy life when they encounter them. Gaining just a slim bit of satisfaction and remaining a creature of hatred and sorrow. They hide from sunlight. In fact, it gives them disadvantage on attack rolls and perception checks as well that rely on sight. They return to their final resting place every night, emerging in the darkness to roam and find more living to slay. They slink back into their holes at dawn, only to repeat this day after day after day after day. So the only way that they can be put to rest is if their soul is destroyed. So in the book, they are transparent like a ghost. They have claws and wispy white hair and a really evil, creepy grin with sharp teeth. And they might be a bit luminous as well. Other lore mentions that they are found in numbers, but not more than a dozen. It's very specific.
Yeah, not a baker's dozen. We'll never get there. Just a healthy dozen. Yeah.
Too far otherwise. And that injuries that cause their death could be visible enough for the living to potentially recognize who they are, though the Spectre will never recognize any of the living. They also dive into a more complex and interesting history. I thought of Peps here because there's a dragon, of course. So shadow dragons conquered a drow city, turning them all into creatures of shadow, which were specters. However, descendants of those drow took back the city and killed the shadow dragons and turned them into spectral creatures that would eventually turn into drow dragons, where their breath weapon could create more spectral creatures when it kills humanoid targets. Yikes. It's like the most epic revenge story, but then also they just ended up coming full circle and creating more spectral creatures like at will kind of thing. Yeah, thought that was interesting.
That's pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now with that descriptor, you might think they are a bit more of a challenge to encounter, but they are a CR1. They
right? are weird, but I guess like they're just like puny little monsters. You know what I mean? They're just annoying.
Yeah, they are. They're just a medium undead, chaotic, evil, bitter, hateful monster.
Wow, Casey, why did you have to describe me with such like perfection?
You're fine after a glass of wine, Megan.
Now people wonder why I'm constantly drunk. It's to protect you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so specters have a 50 hover speed and an AC of 12 and an average hit point of 22. They have a shocking, or maybe not shocking, -5 modifier to strength.
My weak little arms.
But everything else is average in ability scores. Everything is average. Aside from dexterity at +2. So, you know, not a ton going for them, but, you know, they have the hefty list of damage resistances, immunities, and conditional immunities ghosts and many undead have, as well as dark vision and that incorporeal movement where they can move through creatures and take the, and there's force damage, all that. And their only action is life drain, which, I mean, if it's the only thing it can do, it's pretty harsh. So with a melee spell attack on one creature, it can deal 3d6 necrotic damage on a hit, and the target must make a DC 10 con save, or the hit point max is reduced by an amount equal to the damage dealt. Hit point max reduction is one of the harshest kinds of damage.
And Adam does it all the time to us.
He does.
Why did he think we would say nice things about him today?
It should have been 10 things that we dislike about Adam, and that would have been one of them.
We're going to play that list. We're going to do that list at the end just for Adam.
He's a cutie patootie, but I got a list. Sorry.
Let me get the notebook. And it's not the romantic kind.
So that hit point reduction will last until the creature can finish a long rest. If the target is reduced to 0 by this, it dies. So one thing I read in other lore that if the life drain kills a humanoid, that it will be turned into a new specter that is enslaved by its creator. So I thought that was kind of awesome. It gives I'm also CR1, and it can, you know, raise new specters and have them as slaves. It's kind of badass. So I would maybe allow that anyways. It's not in the 5th edition monster manual, but it's fun.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the specter.
I love that about him and them. All right, let's raise some dice and answer some of our classic questions for some inspirations. 5.
7.
Nice.
9. How did I win with a 9?
Couldn't tell you, my guy. All right.
He's going first.
That's all right. Well, some broad topics here. So, of course, when it comes to specters, let's talk a little bit about the role-playing aspects to them a little bit first. So, Casey, do you have like a plot hook or an adventure one-shot or even maybe just some descriptions of it that kind of inspire you to utilize within your campaigns?
Well, we've talked a lot about undead that, you know, perhaps have some information from when they were living that you would need, or something that, you know, you need to redeem them because you need to help them pass over. They had a tragic death that you witnessed and now you're trying to help them. Yeah, none of that applies here.
None of it.
So if you just want to bring in some undead fuckery just to mess with the players, and there's no real complicated like thing that needs to come out of it, a specter is perfect.
Yep.
Like, oh, your party decides to travel at night, throw in some ghosts. What dark area doesn't have a ghost or two? Use a specter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, I would just bring in like groups of these things just to mess with my players and stuff.
Just so, not like, more than a dozen.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, just to like mess with them, and you know, it's kind of like an in-between type of mission. You got to go through this whole graveyard full of specters or something like that. I see these as very annoying, so that's how I would use them.
Yeah, I feel like they're kind of like your mob mooks if you're going into like an undead graveyard, or like if you're going, you're doing a wizard's tower or something, there's going to be a couple of these floating around, like that kind of thing, right? Like, yeah. I like the fact that you can't destroy them unless you destroy their soul. So a little bit of like a role-playing tip or something to add to your story. I would almost say that the person who ends up destroying a specter's soul or getting the final blow to like remove it from the planes, give them a snapshot of that person's life and whose soul that it belonged to and who you killed, right? Like, just give them a little bit of that history. So yeah, they can't tell you their history, but I think it's something that would be really cool to give them a snippet of it at the very end.
Yeah, like a flashback.
Yeah.
A flash like, in your mind.
Yeah. Like a small vision of like the child that they'll never know or never meet, or what was their killing blow was that turned them into a specter, or what their unfinished business was. And then you as a group could potentially want to like finish off its unfinished business, even though it's not going to do anything because you destroyed their soul, right? Yeah. So that would be kind of a good little addition to add if you just kind of want to give them a little bit more of a flavorful impact for when they kill one. But other than that, yeah, for me, they're just like traversing, dungeon crawling mooks. And then when you have 12 of them, a non-baker's dozen, they would be really annoying in a group. So yeah, they're only CR1, but these are definitely one of those ones that Adam loves it when he says, when there's lots of them, they'd be really annoying. But like, just one, don't care. But when there's lots, I don't like them as much, you know? So
yeah. And especially since they don't like truly, if they see living creatures, they want to destroy them. So yeah. Like, they, as soon as they like perceive you or you attack them, they are just going to try and destroy you.
Yeah.
So there's no there's swarming, like they'll swarm you and it'll just be a big combat of trying to fight undead. There's no negotiation, there's no nothing, it's just you're being swarmed.
Yeah. Which, like, a tactic like that your group could come through if they know they're going to be walking through a yard where hundreds of these are going to be, find a way to make yourself like appear or feel undead.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah,
like that would be an interesting thing to figure out. I'm pretty sure somewhere in the D&D world there's a thing that does that for people. Internet figured that out for me. But I think that would be a really neat thing to have to like transpire to find, so that you aren't attacked by these and the mooks, and you can get through the building faster, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, that bleeds right into our exploration pillar, you know, when we're talking about these things, so we'll just move right along into that. So let's talk about exploration. I believe, Casey, you're first. So any environmental interactions, or, you know, some of the powers or spells that you kind of speak to you, or just our favorite subject, body horror? Like, what's your vibe?
Of course. Well, the one thing about these ones is they always have to return to where they were killed. So say there was, I mean, the horrifying thing is like this wraith that came through and just destroyed a bunch of people and made a whole bunch of these specters. And so they all have to come back to a same area every night and hide away. And then, or every morning, sorry, every dawn, and hide away until the next night. So I want to say that you could play it as you see them moving all together. Like you see like a procession of them going back to where they were killed. Mm-hmm. But then in the dusk, you hear them. They make some like eerie noises as they're emerging again and coming out and starting to hunt and wander to find living creatures to kill. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. Like, there's this eerie, like, once it reaches that time of night, you hear, like, the specters moving from their resting places. And I think you could play a lot into that existential horror and dread in we have to be inside before this time because they come out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Mieko, what about you?
I feel like they all look the same. I don't know. And kind of playing on what you were saying, Megan, like, I guess maybe when you've killed one, you kind of get a peek into like what they like really look like. But kind of going from that, I feel like wherever they like died at, you know, how they returned to their, you know, where they were killed, I feel like it's just surrounded by a bunch of junk that they've collected. It doesn't say that they collect treasures or anything like that, but that's what I envision, that there's just random stuff from people that they've like killed or things that they have found to try to make like a little home out of it. It's probably ridiculous, but I feel like that would be a clue that you've come across like a specter resting place like during the day, because it's just like a bunch of crap lying around it.
Yeah, and we have talked about like other ghosts and undead that do collect things that remind them of their waking life. So in my mind, they do have their original soul. So even though they can't communicate or like have any memories of that life, there might be some kind of a draw or an attachment to a specific type of item that it just doesn't know that it has, right? It just, it's natural to them. But I like that we're all pulling on like the whole fact that they return back to their place, because I was thinking anyone who's played Legend of Zelda, and I'm sure they've done this in other video games as well, but there was one where there's like an alien invasion at the horse ranch, and you have to fight them off for like 6 hours until dawn for when they disappear. So you could be chased by these things and you're now stuck in like this tower or something in the middle of a farm field or something, and you're surrounded by these things. And then you're like, oh my God, what do we do? And someone's just like, honestly, like we just have to wait until they return back, because someone who knows something about specters or does a little bit of research would know that they have to go back to where they like at dawn or at whatever time. Uh-huh. Right. And you just have to survive until that point of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost like don't have to kill them all. You just have to keep your, it's like a tower defense game. You have to keep your tower safe kind of thing, which can be like a nice, you can do that as like a skill check challenge. You can do that as a what have you challenge. But I think that would bring that dread of, we could potentially die here. So we just need to stay on our defenses until they're gone, right?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Which then brings us down to our last pillar, obviously. We're going to talk about a little bit about combat. So Casey, you can kick us off. Any ideas on how you would hunt one? Any, like, how they hunt strategies? Some of that, what happened? We already know what happens when they die, but... Any other thoughts?
Well, I could see this as being some kind of thing where, you know, after some unfortunate events, an area is like infested with specters and the neighboring town is desperate to get rid of them. So, you know, you come in as your adventurers and you want to save the day. This is like kind of like a scouting and hunting mission for them. So you can maybe figure out how exactly to do that and find out where their lair is, look for the clues, and then set like an ambush for when they start emerging. And then, you know, it's just like battle here on out. They really don't have any, they only have life drain. So it's a melee spell attack and it can only target one creature, but it can deal quite a bit of damage. So if you've got a dozen of them, it could be quite dangerous, even though that's the only, they've got one trick and one trick only. It's a pretty bad one. So I don't know, you might have to do a bit of research or else you might be shocked. I would like to have the rumors be mistaken of what the creatures are that they're hunting, and they might think it's some other undead creature, and then it's specters that like burst out of, you know, the ground where they've been hiding and come at you. But it's kind of like hunting and strategy because you can figure out where they're going to be and ambush them.
Yeah. Agreed. For me, like what happens when it dies, I feel like, let's say you're fighting the specter that's like 5 miles away from his resting place and like you kill it. I want to watch it be like dragged back to like where its final resting place is. It doesn't just like disappear or like explode like right in front of you. It's just going to probably drop to the ground and just be dragged away.
Like, yeah.
Ooh, dark. Yeah.
That would be really creepy. And yeah. Like if you're like in a haunted house and that happens, you would follow it back to like you could follow it to its old resting place. And that might lead you to a next clue, right?
Yeah.
That would be really cool. I like that. I do like, if you're going to have these, you're going to focus on the fact that it has its life drain abilities when you're fighting with them. And I think that like a good like hint or like, this is adds back to exploration, but kind of adds to combat as well. Is that if it's in an area like a farmland or a town or a city that it just appears in, there's just going to be these lifeless carcasses that don't have any injuries or damage or rot. They're just void of life, right? So that could be a good hint that you're coming up to one of these, is because they're just sucking the life out of like their like cattle or their pigs or their chickens or whatever, just killing whatever it can. And then the longer you go, like the stronger it might get, which means in my mind, if I was a DM, if I wanted to use one of these, it's almost like a big, big bad in combat, I would increase its challenge rating by increasing its life drain capability.
Yeah.
Because it's taken on so much life and been living in this town and city for so long that like, it's going to be a little bit harder to kill. But that would just be my ideas on like how to increase its CR if you want to use them to be a little bit more meaningful in your campaign. Other than that, again, they're just a mob mook. So you're going to fight it. You're going to kill a few. Some cool things are going to happen when they die. But other than that, they're pretty lifeless, shall we say.
Yep.
I think I'm funny. All right. Any final thoughts on the Spectre before we move on?
Nope.
Great. Mieka, you're next.
All right. And I'm going to talk about the poltergeist. So a poltergeist is a confused spirit of a creature that doesn't remember how they died. And I need y'all to know this is literally who I would become if I died in this freaking campaign we're in now. They are often confused and express their rage by throwing things at other people / creatures. I immediately thought of like the spirits who continue about their day like as if nothing happened. I don't know if you all hear those stories, like you hear this like, I guess, like heavy footsteps in a house or whatever at the same time every day because they're just continuing on their daily routine. Yeah. Because they don't really know they died. After checking some lore on the internet, I found that some people believe that they were evil spirits who did evil things, thus they have become poltergeists. You have poltergeists that are tied to a specific place, or those that are forced to wander. Like I said, usually if they died in their home, they basically haunt that place. If they didn't die in their home, they usually wander about the world. So, yeah, that's a poltergeist. Very confused and very unhinged. That's all I have.
Unhinged. I mean, poltergeists are one of the more traditional ones used in TV and movies and representation of what a ghost is, right? So I feel like most people are kind of like mentally know what one of these are. So but yeah, if we want to, we can just roll some dice right now and just answer some questions about the poltergeist.
All right.
Oh boy.
19.
5.
2.
I love that about you guys. All right. So
talk to yourself.
You know what, I like talking to myself sometimes. But you know, some people think I'm crazy, but you're here, so it's okay, right? So obviously, first we're going to talk about the role-playing aspects and capabilities to utilize a poltergeist, and your ability to use a poltergeist within your campaigns. So I'm going to probably talk about like an adventure or a one-shot that can happen with one of these, is that, of course, maybe you're in like a haunted house that's your kind of classic. You've got a poltergeist. You kind of have to figure out why it's there, what its unfinished business is, and you have to help it finish its unfinished business. Or it could be one of your players that died at the table and is now haunting somebody else as a poltergeist and is just like following them around. Like, can't necessarily speak to them. Do they have languages? Let me just double check. Languages. Understands all languages that new in life, but can't speak. So it knows what you're saying to it, but it cannot communicate back. So it would just be really, really annoyed because you're not listening to it. And like, so it might communicate with you by throwing rocks at you or drawing things in the ground and helping guide you. But this to me would be a really fun one to have haunt one of your players. It just, it fits for me because of the way that they communicate would be a little bit fun for a DM to play. Mixed in with, they do have some attacks and capabilities that would help them help out in battle if they wanted to. So instead of having a familiar or something like animalistic that they have as a partner, adding a poltergeist would be, I think, a neat idea.
Oh.
Well, because again, at the end of the day, I'm a believer in, I don't necessarily need it to be an evil reason as to why a poltergeist or like an evil, like a spirit exists. So this would probably be like a, I promised I was going to protect this person for and through this mission and I died. And so now I'm coming back as a poltergeist and haunting them, quote unquote, but I'm just bonded to them because my job is to keep them safe and keep them protected. But yeah, that's my little plot hook idea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm thinking like maybe you have your players in some type of haunted house building or what have you, and you come across this poltergeist who seems to be pretty like nice at first, and like, you know, oh my gosh, we gotta try to help it, and you go on this like journey of puzzles and whatever throughout this haunted house, only to find out at the end that the poltergeist is actually evil, and then you have to like kill this thing. I think that would be fun and interesting, kind of like a twist, especially if your players aren't expecting it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a good big bad evil guy to have at the end of the campaign when they're a lower level, right? Like,
yeah. It's a low level type of situation.
Yeah. What about you, Casey?
You could also use them as just somewhat like the helper, but like the guide. Say they're, because they can't communicate, but they can show you the way, you know? So maybe it is haunting a, like the grounds of a mansion, and there's a labyrinth. And when you guys are inevitably lost and cannot find your way through the labyrinth, a poltergeist, you know, causes a little bit of like trickery first, maybe throwing some things at you, maybe get hit in the side of the head with an apple.
Absolutely. It's like, let me guide you through these hallways, right? Like I feel like I talk about The Legend of Zelda in this version of our podcast with the undead, because they use spirits a lot in Legend of Zelda, but there is also like, I think I've talked about it before, but like there's a dungeon that they have to, that you have to get through within 5 minutes to get the MacGuffin at the end. And you have to follow a ghost who runs really fucking fast. So you have to know the route by heart, and you have to be able to like figure out how to like do like shortcuts without losing sight of it and all these kinds of things. So, and then if you fall and die, you just start right back from the beginning. So it'd be like, well, so I feel like that'd be like, if it's a mini dungeon and like this thing's like, I'm going to help you get there, but you have to be quick. Let's go. And it starts running. And and it start, and it will, and it doesn't necessarily, and it's going to test you too. So it's going to like throw things in your way, knock statues over, like all that kind of stuff too, right? I think that'd be really funny.
It would be so frustrating to watch me play Legend of Zelda, because it would literally take me 5 hours to get through that.
I honestly, as a child, embarrassingly, it took me a long time to get through those kinds of dungeons and things like that. Now, as an adult, I do it for fun because it's actually calming, because I know what I'm doing. Because it's like that. Yeah. It's almost like when you watch like Friends or The Office over and over again, the game I constantly go back to play because it's mentally calming is Ocarina of Time. I will always go back to that game and just play through it just to calm my brain space, you know. But anyways, lots of poltergeists in there. Moving on to our exploration pillar. So obviously we can talk about anything around for like environments or again, spells, powers, talk about the existential horror and dread or what have you. So for me going first, exploration for these ones, obviously their houses are, in my mind, are going to be either super messy because they throw things around, or super tidy. And the reason why I say super tidy is because if you move something, it's not going to throw it at you. It's going to move it back. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like, you put it back where you got it. Like, this place is super organized. It's super clean. I'm not an evil spirit, but don't fuck up my folded clothes. I don't, like, is that how you fold a towel? You're doing it wrong. Like, I don't understand what we're doing here. You know what I mean? So it could even almost be like, I would love to have like a hotel that just has poltergeists as their like maid service that go through and like make your bed and put your clothes away and do all of those things. But like, again, not evil spirits. They're just like, But then it could be a dark side where the person who runs the hotel, like, harvests poltergeists and then keeps them from doing their unfinished business so that they can keep them, like, working in their households. And so it could go down a rabbit hole, right? But the exploration piece of that is, like, of course, the moving objects that are moving around the house, right? So whether it is they're throwing them at you or whether it is that you're kind of seeing it be moved back or you leave the room and the house is the whole room has been made up within like 5 minutes because they're super quick because they're inhuman. But yeah, I thought that'd be really cool.
Yeah, you basically took mine. I was going to say the same thing about, like, you know, their environment is going to be like just crazy messy, especially if they're upset. I feel like I know from what I said in the lore that they are like evil spirits, but I feel like most of the time they're not unless they are provoked. And so I feel like, oh, we're just dealing with a ghost that's, you know, unfinished business, whatever, whatever. But like if you piss it off, that's when it's just going to, like, you know, get out of character and just
throw a hissy terrifying. Fit.
Yeah. So, yep.
I would like it if we're playing off of, you know, you're coming into its area or its home and say it likes everything where it is. There, I would like to prepare so that there is one singular item that if your rogue or whatever decides to like pick it up and take it with, that's the trigger for the poltergeist to just turn like banshee.
Yeah. Really like 180, just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going to be nice and make you a cup of tea, but instead I'm going to murder you.
Yeah. Yep. Go full on murder. And I would, as the DM, like really try to describe the shift, like a shift in shape. Maybe like it turns and has like a shocked look on its face, but then its mouth just starts getting like longer and wider, and then it lets out like this horrifying ghostly shriek, and it just like charges you. Just to change the whole like atmosphere of the room, and suddenly you are in battle and it is just gonna try and destroy all of you.
Yeah. And then you can add, like, if you wanted to, and also they destroy this poltergeist, get the flash, like the when it's like fading and fizzling away, get the flash of to why that item was so important to them.
Yeah.
Or find a diary, and if someone reads it, it turns out that it tells you the story of why the item was so important to them.
Yeah.
Right? Because they can't, again, they can't speak to you. So they just are going to respond in unkind and physically push you until you put the item down. Like, I wonder, like, would you, if they put the item down, would you stop it from when it stop fighting and then go pick up the item and then, like,
put it back where it was?
Put it back where it was and just, like, dust it off, and they'd be like, oh, fine.
That could be really creepy. Like, what a turn of events, you know?
Yeah. It'd be hilarious.
Like, I'm leaving immediately.
Oh, Lord.
And if that's what happened as the DM, I would then have it be a cursed item, and the person that did touch it is like something comes after them later anyway.
We love the idea of curses in this household.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. All right. So moving finally on to combat tactics and or ideas around loot or what have you. I do like the idea that these ones do have loot, as in like they do collect things. Yeah. Because they like moving items and shifting things around. I feel like they would have, like, again, not rules as written. They don't. But I just feel as a DM, that's a thing that I would give them. They would have objects that they particularly like to collect. Like, let's say they were a warrior, so they collect antique swords or something along those lines. So maybe going into its house would be like walking into an armory. And then if you start touching and picking up swords, it's gonna be like, I'm sorry, what are you doing? Like, no, it's off. Like, so, but if you're gonna fight one, again, I think like the fact that it can move objects that are medium or smaller. If you have a gnome or dwarf or anything else in your group, like, that's a small or medium-sized creature, it's just going to pick you up and throw you.
Yeah.
We just love a good haunting moment like that.
Yeah, and like just to get them out of out of the space, right? Especially if like let's say you had like a, I don't know, a gnome rogue who ran up and took the item that it's gonna be pissed off that you picked up. It's not gonna take the item out of your hands. It's gonna like pick you up and it's gonna shake you until you drop it, and then it's gonna throw you.
Yep.
Oh Lord. What about you, Mika? Anything around combat?
Gosh, I just agree with you, Megan. Like, it's gonna throw people. It's gonna make a bunch of noise and just, let me see. I guess what happens when it dies, I feel like maybe you would finally be able to see it.
Yeah.
And see the person that it once was. It just falls to the ground. Mm-hmm. It's just a dead body. It's kind of depressing, but like at least you get a glimpse into who they once were.
Yeah. And we do keep it kind of breezing over the fact that the poltergeist itself is invisible. Like yeah. It's all you're gonna see is the fact that you have moving objects or what have you that are floating around. Right. unless someone is smart enough to like take a sheet and drop it over top of it or like put smoke in the room so you can see it moving through the smoke. Like that's like how you would have to do like those weird battle tactics so you can see it if you're gonna be fighting it. So that's something that like players and DMs need to remind ourselves that they're invisible. So your group is gonna have to find a way to be able to see it if they're gonna be battling it. Otherwise they're gonna be rolling with disadvantage constantly. Mm-hmm. So, and it's your, as a DM, you can use that to your advantage, or you can kind of give your team the boon so that it learns how to fight one poltergeist so that if another big bad evil guy later on has invisibility, they know how to deal with it later on. Right. So yeah. It might be a good teaching moment too, combat wise, to your point, Mieka, with the invisibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for that reason as well, it's never going to put itself in a position where it could be destroyed. I think as it's if you get it down to, you know, single digit hit points or very little hit points, it's going to just move through a wall and disappear from the encounter.
Oh yeah. It's just like, fuck you. Unless like we go play like hard into the fact where you've picked up its magical item and it just is like absolutely enraged by it. Right. So.
Yeah.
And what's the CR if you actually are in combat with this thing? Do we know what that was?
Two, I believe.
Two. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not quite ghost level. It can't potentially possess. But it's, you know, potentially gonna fuck around a bit more than a specter. Has more options than just the one life drain.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah, this one has a slam attack and a telekinetic thrust is what they call it. So.
Boy.
Telekinetic thrust.
Yeah. We love a thrust.
Yeah. Hey, oh.
Yep.
My final thoughts on like combat for these ones too, something to remember is that not only are they invisible, but all of the ones we've talked about today have sunlight sensitivity. So that is something to remember too, right? And that's why I think that a specter would disappear at a certain time, because it's like, I have to get back home before dawn or else I'm going to be stuck out here in the sunlight, right?
Yeah.
These poltergeists are going to be in houses with like windows shuttered and curtains drawn because they don't like the sun, right? They're going to be in crypts. They're going to be in places where sunlight just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But then players can use that to their advantage for a combat advantage if you have a player that has like sunlight or what have you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, any final thoughts on poltergeists?
I think they're a lot of fun if you use them correctly.
Yeah, I agree. A little bit more to work with. Again, it's hard when we talk about the undead ones that don't have the ability to communicate directly, but I feel the poltergeists are built in with a way to communicate, whether it's drawing or putting up signs or showing you very specific items. Like, there are a lot of creative ways to communicate with the poltergeist than there is with, let's say, the specter, which has no interest in communicating with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10 handsome Adams.
Oh, my God.
How would you rank these creatures as a part of the undead landscape in D&D 5th edition? Specters. I personally don't respect these at all.
No respect. Yeah.
I don't think they're handsome.
So. On a scale of 1 to 10 of respecting Adam, no respect.
These are pretty low for me. I would say like a 3. I'm not like, you know, they could do some damage if there's a lot of them at one time, but like if I can just lock myself in a room and wait until nightfall. I don't have to deal with you.
I can walk through walls, Mieka. You have to remember that.
Oh, shit, that forgot.
It's a ghost. I'm going to lock myself in this tower and I'll be fine.
I'm going to give it a 4.
That boosted it up a little bit.
They're a little scary. Never mind. Forget everything I just said.
Yeah. I mean, fear factor for me, they're pretty low. They're like a 3 or a 4. Like, I'm not, they're a mook to me. They're just like your basic fodder that you're going to throw into an undead ghost type campaign. However, comma, for usability as a DM, solid 10. Again, they're a mook. So as a DM, I would 100% use these in my campaigns just as to be something that's floating around to hint you guys in the direction of what kind of campaign you're playing. Right. Yeah. So
yeah, there's even the way of using them as the very first indicator of your big bad evil perhaps made them. Mm-hmm. So you're now trying to figure out who made all of these specters, and that is actually your target.
Yeah.
But for these, they have to be in numbers to really mean much. Instead of using skeletons or zombies or something, and you want to invoke a little bit more fear, use some specters, especially if your party decides to travel at night. Fuck around and find out.
There you go.
So I give them a 4.
Hold on. I just had like an idea, but I had to type it out and I didn't want to have the clacky clacky. So just hold on here. There is a soul collecting monster, right? Somewhere. Demi liches are described as feeding on souls and to their phylacteries. So hear me out. These things, like, they only live because their soul still exists. It doesn't necessarily say it has to be within its body. Nope. So let's say there's a demi lich or what have you that exists, and it's collecting the souls of things, and all of the souls are collected within its phylactery. And even when you kill the specters, they don't die because the souls are within the phylactery of the demi lich.
Yep.
Perfect.
Worth the tippy taps.
A truly immortal army.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, that'd be really neat. Cool. And like, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Aurora.
And here's the thing. They would have, their unfinished business would be, these are the acolytes of a demi-lich, which means they have like sworn an oath and a life to the demi-lich, which means even in death and in killing it, like, it doesn't, unfinished business won't do anything because it's unfinished business is helping the demi-lich. The only thing that is going to release these souls and have them be able to like be free is to get rid of the demi-lich, kill the phylactery, release the souls, and then go and kill them. Mm-hmm. Or destroy all the souls with the phylactery at the same time.
Yeah.
Ooh, neat. Neato. Well done. Pat on the back. Anyways, poltergeist. Scale of 1 to 10 stupid atoms.
Give it a 7. Scary, but I'm not impressed.
Yeah. Well, they're bare bones, like poltergeists, yeah. Right? Like, you can get a little more creative with them, but yeah, bare bones, they're good, like 5 or 6 for me. Like,
yeah,
usability is still pretty high, but pretty boring.
Yeah, I'm gonna give them a 5. Mm-hmm. Yes, bit more challenging because you can't truly see them, but there's means and ways around that, and then they still have the same like light vulnerability that you can target because that's basically all you got with all of the other resistances and stuff and immunities.
Very fair.
Well, now it's time to close the casket on this part of our conversation on Undead and D&D 5th Edition. If you'd like to discuss what you've heard here today, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and at r/itsamimic. For more episodes on monsters and other D&D topics, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Bring Out Your Undead. If you'd like to support us, we have a donate button on our website, www.itsamimic.com, as well as a store and a Patreon. You can check the show notes for any more details. Thanks again for listening to It's a Mimic, where you never know what you're going to get.
We're gonna skip that. I have no idea what that.
Sure.
Moving on.
I need to go get my dice.
Oh my god, Mika. As I grab mine from the shelf because I also didn't prepare mine.
As I'm like looking through the drawers beside me. Okay, there's one. None of your business.
And
Adam. How dare you?
Just wanted to be one of the cool kids.
Oh, Lord.
You'll be happy to know we came up with, like, we actually spent 45 minutes of that talking about all of the things we love about you.
Yeah. It was yeah, that's all the episode is about. We didn't actually talk about anything in particular. We just said, hey, these are all the things that we like about Adam.
Mm-hmm. Jokes on you.
It's nothing.
Focus on this episode. I know for a fact you're lying.
Love you so much.
I did call you a cutie patootie.
She did. Yeah. There's at least
that was my
one
nickname in college. Yeah.
I bet. At least there's one compliment in there for you.
Can't wait to edit that shit show.
That's how you do it.
And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Crushed.
Awesome.